Hello and welcome to the Finance Hours podcast. I'm your host Luke, and I'm joined today by my co-host Polina.
Hey Luke, what have you got for us today?
Today, I wanted to talk about Lloyds Banking Group and the most recent shift in strategy. The chief executive has revealed a £4 billion strategy to focus on technology, wealth management, and private rentals over a five-year period. Lloyds have experienced a long-term marriage with retrenchment, so CEO Charlie Nunn has decided that a divorce is in order. £4 billion is set to build a new wealth management offering to high-profile and wealthy individuals, digitize SME banking, and focus on corporate clients. The bank is clearly looking to reinforce that end opposite to general retail banking. And the announcement of the strategy was revealed just as fourth quarter results were announced. So you could call this a coincidence or you could call this tactics. Q4 earnings were not exactly what analysts were expecting. The bank posted pre-tax profits of £968 million, which is up from £792 million in the same quarter last year, but 30% below expectations. This did bring full-year profits up to £6.9 billion, but this again misses expectations by 4%. Profits were mostly determined by a strong revenue figure, however, this was mostly offset by a massive £2.8 billion in costs, which again was 25% above analyst expectations. However, one thing to note is that £600 million of these costs were attributable to the historic HBOS fraud. And on top of this, the very large revenue figure was bolstered by £1.2 billion in write-downs of provisions against bad loans. So overall, we can see that Q4 revenue was relatively substantial. However, it is concerning how much higher costs rose given expectation. The market also priced this in by downgrading the share price by 8%, despite the announcement of a strategic shift by the group's CEO.
UK inflation outpaced wage growth at the end of last year, despite job vacancies reaching a record high since the start of the COVID pandemic. Economists predicted the tightening labour market will strengthen this chance of further interest rate rises this year as the Bank of England battles surging inflation. Average weekly earnings, excluding bonuses, grew at an annual pace of 3.7% in the final quarter of 2021, according to the data published by the Office for National Statistics on Tuesday. However, prices rose faster than pay, pushing down wages by 0.8% in real terms over the same period, the first contraction since the summer of 2020. This is despite a continuing squeeze in the labor market. The number of job vacancies in 3 months to January rose to 1.3 million, up 514,000 from January to March 2020, reaching their highest level since records began in 2001. Labor shortages were broad-based across the economy, with the ratio of vacancies to employees rising to record highs in the majority of sectors. The number of employees, based on real data from HM Revenue and Customs, also increased by 108,000 between December and January to 29.5 million. Sam Beckett, ONS head of economic statistics, said that while the number of employees on payrolls was well above pre-pandemic levels, overall employment was lower than before the health crisis. The unemployment rate decreased 0.2 percentage points in the last quarter to 4.1%. Redundancies also hit a record low of 2.6%, while job-to-job moves rose significantly, driven by resignations as workers sought better career opportunities elsewhere. Paul Dales, chief UK economist at Capital Economics, said that the record high job vacancies and that falling unemployment rate was a recipe for more interest rate hikes. Dales added that he expected the Bank of England to raise rates from its current level of 0.5% to 1.25% this year, increasing to 2% in 2023. The Bank of England has forecast unemployment to start rising from the second quarter of 2021 to pick up to 5%. The central bank has predicted that nominal wage growth will moderate this year as demand weakens due to the large squeeze in real incomes in 30 years resulting from surging energy costs and higher taxes.
You're listening to the Finance Hours podcast, and up next, we've got our biggest winners, and our biggest losers of the week.
Shares of Appian were up 11.4% on Friday after the provider of low-code software posted strong results in its fourth quarter earnings report, topping estimates across the board. Appian's cloud subscription revenue, which it considers to be its most important metric, grew 39% to $51.2 million, and overall revenue, which includes term licenses and professional services, rose 29% to $105 million, easily beating the analyst consensus at $95.3 million. Net retention rate was 116%, showing existing customers spend 16% more on Appian products, and the number of customers spending more than $1 million annually rose from 55 to 75, a sign that it's both landing bigger customers and persuading existing customers to ramp up spending. The company recently launched Appian Process Mining following its acquisition of Lana Labs last year, adding another valuable element to its low-code platform, and it became the first low-code platform to receive government provisional authorization at Impact Level 5, which will help it better serve the Department of Defense. Looking ahead, Appian also gave better-than-expected guidance for 2022. The company sees revenue increasing from 20% to 21% for the full year. For the current quarter, it called for 19.22% revenue growth to $106 and $108 million, which compared to the consensus at $102.7 million. The opportunity in low-code software is significant, and Appian continues to deliver steady growth. After a pullback last year, the stock looks like a much better value at a price-to-sales ratio of about 9 based on this year's forecast. On to you, Naller. Who's been losing this week?
Our biggest loser this week is Coca-Cola Consolidated. A typical confusion here is to mistake the firm for the beverage company, but it is not. In fact, it is the former bottling firm, alongside many other duties. So the global non-alcoholic beverage giant owner is down nearly 25%. Just 2 days ago, Coca-Cola Consolidated released fourth quarter earnings reports, and everything seemed fine, in fact better than fine. Quarterly net sales increased 15% compared to the same time last year. Net sales for the fiscal year of 2021 were $5.6 billion, which is up 11% from last year. Additionally, income from operations was up by around 40%. The chairman of the firm said that this year was a tremendous year for the company as they achieved record revenue income and operating cash flow. So why is the stock down nearly 25%? Well, the bottling company reported $6.76 net income per share, which is quite a lot less than the estimate of $7.62 a share. So investors were not confident in the bottling company's most recent performance. However, it is really important to note that the company earnings issue is likely to be amplified significantly by the state of the market as a whole. On the 23rd of February, the S&P 500 entered correction territory after dropping 10% from its high. Investors' uncertainty seems to be hitting an all-time high, with concerns over inflation, interest rates, and the recent geopolitical tensions in Ukraine. As of current, it is unclear as to whether or not the drop in share price can be wholly attributable to its underwhelming earnings report, or if it is the greater market decline to blame.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.